Looks like the healthcare debate's coming to a head.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. President Obama is telling jittery Democrats that political fates are on the line when a $940 billion health care vote comes in the House on Sunday. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says he's optimistic.
I think health care is going to pass the House on Sunday. I believe shortly it will pass the Senate, and the president will be able to sign all of it into law.
Now, Republicans say the bill adds to the deficit, raises taxes, and will add unneeded bureaucracy to the nation's health care system. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan presents a paper today looking back at the banking crisis. A lot of people blame Greenspan for the financial meltdown because he pushed for reduced financial regulation. And in his presentation today to the Brookings Institution, Greenspan will outline what he thinks went wrong. Let's talk about it this morning with Marketplace's Brett Neely, joining us from our Washington studio. Good morning, Brett.
Morning, Steve.
So Greenspan has gotten a lot of flack for possibly allowing the housing market to overheat. Is this sort of a mea culpa for him?
Actually, I think in some ways it's more defense of his policies. He argues in his paper that his policy of keeping interest rates low for a very long time didn't cause the housing bubble. Among other things, he blames the flow of cheap money from China and elsewhere for inflating the bubble. But Greenspan does say that markets and regulators didn't understand how risky some of the financial products on the market were, and he thinks banks shouldn't have been allowed to get as big as they did.
And Brett, Greenspan may not be directly involved in policy anymore, but financial reform was one of the watchwords in Washington this week. Democratic Senator Christopher Dodd introduced this big proposal. Any clues as to what Greenspan thinks about his bill?
Well, one of the big proposals in that bill is what's called a systemic risk council. And basically, it's a group of regulators who are supposed to spot bubbles and too-big-to-fail banks that could bring down the markets. Greenspan says he thinks bubbles are inevitable and a new council probably won't work.
And before I let you go, Brett, I mean, let me ask you this basic question. If Greenspan had partly been blamed for the crisis, I mean, why are people even listening to him?
Well, even though this crisis has dented his reputation, I mean, remember, Alan Greenspan ran the Fed for 18 years. Investors in Washington are just used to listening to him. And I think the real question is whether his views have any effect on the debate over financial reform.
And we'll see what he has to say today. All right. Marketplace's Brett Neely with us from Washington this morning. Brett, thanks.
Sure thing.
Let's check the numbers. European shares are higher right now, under 0.25% for shares in London, Frankfurt, and Paris. In Asia, markets rose for the most part today, the Nikkei by nearly 1%. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ basically flat for the day, mixed. And the Dow continued on its winning streak, though. It gained 46 points to close at 10,779. That is 8 straight days in positive territory, the longest streak since last August.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Discovery. From the producers of Planet Earth comes Life, premiering Sunday on Discovery Channel and narrated by Oprah Winfrey, 8 p.m. Sunday on the Discovery Channel. By Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Well, China is stepping up resistance to American pressure over its currency. It's calling on Washington to cool the politics and all the emotion of the issue and warning a further rise in its yuan could drive exporters out of business. Now, U.S. officials claim pegging the yuan to the dollar is hurting global commerce. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich isn't so sure anything will get resolved anytime soon, and he's here with us to talk about how this is all going to play out. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
Not a whole lot of bipartisanship in Washington lately, as we know, but Republicans and Democrats did find something to agree on, that China must revalue its currency. I mean, why are they doing that now, Bob, and why is China pushing back?
Well, it's all about jobs, Steve, really, on both sides. If China allows its currency to rise against the dollar, as we want, we'd stop importing as much from them, and presumably we'd export more to them. But hundreds of millions of Chinese are migrating off farms and into cities in search of work. So China's artificially low currency is designed really to make sure there are enough jobs for them.
Is there anything that the U.S. government can do to pressure them?
Well, members of Congress want the Treasury to formally cite China for manipulating its currency, which would prompt an investigation by the Commerce Department and possibly import duties on Chinese products coming into the U.S. But, Steve, the administration fears if we did that, China would retaliate, which could hurt American companies now making and selling products over there.
One of those companies being Google, right?
Oh, Google is one example. Even though it's now in a face-off with China over censorship, the Chinese authorities probably aren't going to back down on that one either, again, because political stability is so important to them. And although it looks like Google may be pulling out of China, at least in the short term, over the long term, neither Google nor any other American company wants to lose access to 1.3 billion potential Chinese consumers.
What about all those treasuries that China owns, Bob? I mean, China's the largest holder of U.S. debt. Do they have us over a barrel because of that?
Well, let's put it this way. It's mutual dependency, Steve. They need the U.S. economy to recover, so we'll buy more of their exports. And they don't want to do anything that may harm the value of the dollar, because that would leave them holding a lot of dollars that are worth less than they potentially paid for them. So if our economic relationship unraveled, both sides would suffer.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, if you're in the market for the trappings of a little royalty, a four-door Jaguar Daimler Majestic, used personally by Queen Elizabeth between 2001 and 2004, is on the block. With 14,000 miles, it's said to have been properly maintained and is for sale by private owner for a modest $99,000. A special radio link with the Prime Minister's house has been disconnected. However, there are plenty of other options with this car. Blue flashing strobe lamps and convoy lights come with it, and a special cargo area for blingy handbag and corgi. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.